Hi, and welcome to the new and improved Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast brought to you by Shooters in Nagoya. I'm John Gibson, and with me as always is the man, Jim Allen.
The man, Jim Allen, that's me. Since when was I the man, dude?
Always.
Cover your
ass,
man.
The moment you slap that doctor back, get your hands off me.
All right, dude, how you doing tonight?
All right, it was a busy week. First, let me say that we're recording this show on September 11th in Japan, and both Jim and I discussed this, the event that happened 10 years ago. We discussed it this past week, and we also reflected on 3/11, the tragedy that happened here in Japan, and it's exactly 6 months ago that that occurred, so we're still dealing with that. It's a really big weekend. You got NFL starting, got all kinds of things going on. But
you got the Rugby World Cup going on.
We've got a lot here, but we're going to discuss a lot too. We're going to discuss rookies, the top rookies in each league, potential MVP candidates, and answer a great number of listener questions. So let's get going by clearing the bases. All right, so your idea. Mr. Allen came up with an idea about discussing who should be Rookie of the Year in the two leagues. So I'll let you kick this off.
Okay, well, first, you know, we were talking the other day about who the candidates are, and a lot of people aren't aware that a lot of players who aren't first-year professionals are eligible. Now, the question is, who is eligible? Is any position player who's been a pro for 5 years or less.
5 years. That's a long time.
That's right. He's been a pro for 5 years or less and entered the season with fewer than 60 at-bats or 30 innings pitched.
All right, so it doesn't have to be it's not a plate appearance, it's just an at-bat. So you can come up and walk 60 times, but those are not official at-bats, so you still are considered a rookie.
Right. It might be 60 plate appearances. Okay, I'm not going to split it. I think it is at bats, actually.
But, okay, yeah, I'm just making
anyway,
sure.
Yeah.
I'm just making sure because...
making sure that I don't know what I'm talking about again.
No, not at all. I know you're... Because you're the man. We just established it. You are the man, so... Okay.
You established it. That makes me feel a whole hell of a lot better, let me tell you.
All right.
Okay. Okay, now here's a list of the players who are eligible, who qualify as Rookie of the Years and who are getting any kind of regular playing time this year.
We're going to start in the Central League, yes.
We're going to start in the Central League with position player, and that's Carp outfielder Yoshihiro Maru. Now, he's been around for a few years, but he hasn't been a regular until he earned a regular starting job this year. Next, we have Carp pitcher Takeru Imamura. Same case. He's a guy who had been around. He was, I believe, rookie last year.
Mm-hmm.
But he barely pitched.
All right.
Then we have another Carp, who is a first-year pitcher, Yuya Fukui, who's a solid candidate. He was a well-respected amateur prospect. We have Giants right-hander Hirokazu Sawamura. We have Bay Stars starter Kota Suda.
Mm-hmm.
We have Tigers middle reliever Daiki Enokida.
We can call him the setup guy, huh?
We can call him the setup guy, yeah. And we have Swallows starter Yuki Shichijo, who's one of my favorite rookies this year. I said one. There's a few I like. And there's a guy which John told me I needed to put on the list. And
yeah, because
I think,
I know he was easy to miss because...
He's easy to miss because I looked for guys with more than 30, with 40 innings.
Yeah, but he's one of the first guys out of the bullpen, so he's out early. He's not around late in the games, and so it's hard to catch him sometimes because he only comes in. Maybe he'll face a couple batters and he's gone.
Well, he's got his 21 holds, so he's not in the league leaders, but he is there, and I do like him, and
we
glad you
figured
it out.
His name is
Kuko.
Kentaro
Kuko of the Swallows.
And I think he's going to get some votes, actually.
Yeah, he might. Of course, the problem is Shichijo might get a vote.
So, yeah, and he's broken Hitoki Iwase's 1999 record, where Iwase came in and pitched in 22 consecutive games without allowing a run, and Kyuko's broken that record, although he gave up a run tonight when he was pitching, and it was a big run because it helped Hayashin tie the game, but then Hatakeyama came up and hit a home run, so the Swallows ended up winning. So
what was this record for runs, consecutive games without a run allowed by a left-handed reliever in his first year, or what?
No left-handed, just rookie pitcher. I think it didn't even say reliever. It just says rookie pitcher who wasn't scored upon in 22 consecutive games or appearances.
Okay.
So that's the record that...
So that's going to be limited to relievers. First of all, it's going to be limited to relievers because starters don't go 22 games without giving up a run.
Not in this world.
No. No, only in the old guys' imaginations.
Okay. Well, so before we continue with this conversation, let me first start by saying what the Rookie of the Year means to me.
Yes, let's hear your explanation.
And it's a player, for me, it's a player who not only performs well, but it's representative of a high-impact player who, going forward, will not just put up big numbers, but who's going to continuously make an impact. He's going to have an impact for his team. Now, maybe not in the league, but he's definitely going to be a starter regularly with his team. He's going to be around. And for some reason, you know, first-year imports are not eligible to be Rookie of the Year for some reason.
Nor second-year imports.
Nor any imports. That's a separate story, and maybe we'll argue about that later on in an off-season podcast or something like that.
Okay.
But for me, I'm looking for a guy who is not only obviously impacted the season this year, but he's going to continue to have an impact for his team, for a couple of years to come. I don't want a guy who's going to be like a flash in the pan, and he's going to be good one year, and then they call it a sophomore jinx, and then the third year he's a part-time player, and by the fourth year he's gone.
Well, so many of the rookies of the year are they have sophomore jinx because they pick lousy players who luck into good numbers, especially starting pitchers who get great run support and get put up big winning, good winning records.
Right. I mean, that's what I'm looking for. What are you picking in a Rookie of the Year?
Well, basically, I like a guy who's, who does the most to help his team win. I mean, there are cases. I think I'll make an exception. I'm a numbers guy, and I do like...
Say
do
it. Like, you're a stat head. Say it.
Sorry.
Admit
that,
it.
That word is not something I use on the air.
Oh, okay. Just me. Okay.
Exactly. Okay. Now, basically, what I mean is, we'll take a case of, if you have the numbers of a guy who's has an incredible half season for one reason or another, and you have another guy who's got a moderately successful, he's a normal, ordinary player for a full season. I take the guy who's got the superstar numbers over half a year.
Mm-hmm.
If he's got good, he's got the physical skills that look like they're going to support those numbers.
I hear you. So, I know where you're going with it, yeah.
Right. Okay. Now, in this respect, last year the Pacific League had a great Rookie of the Year who was a Kashiwahara, the middle reliever for the Fighters. He was a sixth inning guy, and he came in a lot of tie games. He won a lot of games. He was an impact middle reliever as much as you have one of those things in kind of a weak field. But to be honest, the guy who was the best Rookie of the Year, well, in retrospect, I wouldn't want him as the Rookie of the Year now because he's never healthy, was Takashi Ogino of the Marines.
Right. Yeah.
This guy was a massive player for a month and a half.
Yeah.
And he was the value, what he did in a month and a half was vast, was more than what Kashiwahara did.
It would have been
the
able
rest of the season.
Yeah, it would have been able to sustain, him being sustain the case or the argument that he could have been the Rookie of the Year had he come back for maybe the last 3 weeks and been mediocre.
Perhaps. Well, he came back and he was mediocre this year before he got hurt again.
Right. Yeah.
He's having problems. He's had three surgeries now on that knee, so it's not looking good.
No, not for
okay.
A speed.
Well, anyway, so that's my so basically, I mean, we can argue differences, but I don't want to I think, you know, we're gonna be splitting a lot of hairs in the next couple of minutes. So the squeamish might want to get out of the room for a minute.
Uh-oh.
Okay, now in the Pacific League.
Well, wait a minute.
You want to finish the Central League first?
Who are you picking? Yeah, I want to know who you're picking.
In the Central League, I think we had. I have to go with Sawamura, the Giants. Now he's got one thing which a lot of rookie of the years. Have, which is he's a regular pitcher. Now, you could say the same for Fukui, and Mara's a regular player. Usually, if you play in almost all of your opportunities for your team, you're going to be a rookie of the year because most rookies can't do it.
Right.
So we have three guys, Sawamura, Fukui, and Yoshihiro Maru, who are solid rookie of the year candidates. Now, Maru's not really that. He's a good player.
He's a good player, but I don't think he's
not really. Yeah, he's not, I don't know, high impact or any impact. He's a good player.
No, I mean, he's gonna play next season, but at the first sign of weakness or at the first sign of, cracks in the ship, they're gonna put him on the bench and say, hey, you need to work on these things. You know, your weaknesses are this. Let's get you doing this. And then he could end up on the farm a little bit. I mean, if. But,
okay.
I like him. But before we start taping, didn't you pick another guy?
Sure.
Now you're flip-flopping on me in mid-show here.
I haven't picked the guy yet.
Oh, okay. Because
During the week I was thinking of Inokita because the Tigers middle reliever, setup guy if you like, because he's pretty far up there on the list, you know, rank him against the other setup guys. You know, the only guy who's really been as good as him, I mean, superior to him is Takuya Asawa, the Dragons, and that's pretty good company for a rookie. But
indeed.
And then what happened was John brought up Kentaro Kyuko, and I realized that, you know, these two guys aren't far apart. Now, Inokita's pitched a few more innings, and he's a little higher up in the hold rankings. But, you know, there's no evidence that one is better than the other, so I'd take the guy with the better numbers. But the reason what I was thinking is Hirokazu Sawamura. And I know you like Sawamura, and I like him too. But you give your reasons for Sawamura.
Well, I'm just in a state of shock because I was ready to argue with you and beat you over the head with a bunch of Sawamura stuff, and then you come back with this. So, I mean, here's the thing: the guy goes out there once a week.
Yeah,
and he's been able to pitch. He's been able to stay in the rotation. He doesn't get yanked like Shun Tono after an inning or something because he screwed the whole game up. You know, he's been able to stay out there. His ERA is low.
ERA is very good, yeah.
He gets lefties and righties out at virtually not the same clip, but the splits aren't bad. He's got good strikeouts. And like I said before we even started this conversation, I think he's going to have an impact for years to come for the Giants and in the Central League. I think he's going to be the next Kenshin Kawakami, to be honest. I don't care what his win-loss record is. Some of that was his fault, you know. Some of that was the fault of this ball per se, because since it's a pitcher's league, you can't really give up too many runs, and he figured out a way to give up a lot of home runs this year.
I don't think that was something he was actually working on.
You think?
Honest.
Yeah. I think, you know, the coach was probably working on something a little bit different from that, but he figured out a way to give up a lot of home runs. But even that, even with the home runs, you know, he still has a good ERA, and he's kept the team in a lot of games, and he could have gotten some decisions. And the thing that's impressing me now is that it seems like he's getting better. He's getting stronger in the second half, whereas Inokita, you know, had to go on the, he had to be deactivated for fatigue in August, and it looks like he has a little bit of a shoulder thing, and now he's starting to give up more runs. But Sawamura the other day against Chunichi, and that's not saying all that much because it is Chunichi, and they don't hit, they couldn't swat a fly if it was dead already. He pitched 10 shutout innings against him and only gave up 2 hits, and
right.
It was pretty impressive. I mean, it was downright impressive, and he was in control out there. So I like him for Rookie of the Year, as much as it pains me to pick a Giant, but I like him for Rookie of the Year, and I think he's a no-doubter, to be honest. I really like Maru. He's my favorite. I was looking for all the reasons when we started this assignment, which I did. I actually got an assignment from you and completed it, unlike you. I went immediately. I thought, okay, Mottet is the guy.
Immediately.
Mottet is the guy. I'm going to go and prove why he's the guy. And I just couldn't make an argument for him.
All right.
And then Fukui also, I looked at his numbers and I compared them to someone, and they're pretty close. But
well, he doesn't have the ERA.
Yeah, he's not as good in some particularly good areas. But I do think Fukui is going to be good for Hiroshima for years to come. I think he's going to be good for them.
So. Well, I agree. Now, I gave up on Sawamura too early because of his one-loss record, and I thought, well, everyone's going to look at this guy. But on the other hand, I realized that so often, anybody who can stay in the rotation the whole year has a great chance to be Rookie of the Year, you know, even if they go 5-10, as long as they got an ERA under 4.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we've got a pitcher's year, and we've got a guy having a good, you know, 2.32 ERA or something to that effect. Now, the other thing is the one-loss record is largely attributable, not all, but it's largely attributable to the number of runs the Giants have scored when he's pitched, which has been really low.
Right.
Even for the Giants, he's gotten poor run support.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's getting, the other Giants pitchers are getting, they're scoring more than 3 runs a game when other guys start. They're scoring 2.5 when Sawamura starts.
Right.
And he's got a 2.32 ERA, so...
It's hard to win games, yeah.
Right. It is hard to do that. But, you know, he could be a little better than his record. But, yeah, no, to me the big thing is that you got a guy in Okita who's a middle reliever and he's good, but he's only pitching 45 innings. And you got Sawamura here, he's thrown 151 innings. So,
yeah.
To me, that couple of runs difference, you know, the one loss record, I'm not going to say throw it out. But you got to put it in perspective, and I think you're right on the button about Sawamura.
Okay, yeah, he's 6-11. His WHIP is 1.05. I mean, 151 innings pitched and only 120 hits, and 11 of those hits went over the fence,
right?
Which is a problem for him. But yeah, I think he's the man. I just have no doubt about it. And unfortunately, I tried to pick somebody I liked, and I had to prove myself. I ended up proving myself wrong.
Well, I mean, who in the Central League has more strikeouts than him? What, he's third in strikeouts? So he's up near the top in leaders in innings pitched. This guy's a big pitcher, and he's a smart pitcher, and he's a tough guy.
And he's a hard worker.
Yeah. I don't really believe that you have to project the guy a couple of years down the road. I think you want to look at this year and see the kind of impact he made.
Sure.
And not try to delve into too many things that we can't know about. But, yeah, my question is this. Do his numbers look like a fluke? And the answer is, yeah, he does look like a fluke. He should be, he should be 8-8 instead of 6-11. That's
exactly.
The fluke.
Well, he should be 9-8. He could even be 10-7. I mean,
Still,
you look at the other day, he pitches 10 innings of scoreless ball and doesn't get a decision either way. I mean, he should have gotten a win. You go 10 innings, gosh.
Okay. All right, shall we talk about the Pacific League then?
Yes.
Okay, the candidates are for Rookie of the Year in the Pacific League. Now, unlike the Central League, we have 4 position players who are candidates, and of these, 2 are rookies. 2 are first-year rookies, and 2 are guys who've been in the farm team for a year or so. Okay, let's start with the catcher. The one catcher is Buffalo's catcher Hikaru Ito, who we're going to talk about in a minute. He hasn't played a lot this year, but he's played well.
Yeah.
Okay, we have infielder, or outfielder, or anyway, the Lions, a shortstop to be, Hideto Asamura.
Mm-hmm.
We have, and then two true rookies, outfielders with the Marines, Shota Ishimine, and Shogo Akiyama of the Lions. Okay, now we have the pitchers.
Okay.
We have the Marines, Tomohisa Otani, who has started a bit. He was he's now a long reliever.
Mm-hmm.
We have the Hawks, Sho Iwasaki, who's a starter. We have the Eagles, Takahiro Shiomi, who is another starter. We have the Lions, Kazuhisa Makita. Began the season as a starter. He's a submarine guy. And is now the Lions' closer, and he's pretty good at it.
Yeah.
And then we have the handkerchief prince, Yuki Saito, who I think if somebody, if 10 people vote for him Rookie of the Year, I think I'm going to have to get some kind of medication because I'm going to be too depressed about humanity.
Medication and a bucket.
Oh, man. Okay.
Yeah, but you know some member of the press is going to say, hey, they're going to try to justify it by saying, hey, he's popular.
Well, they're probably that member of the press probably writes for the Obachan Journal.
Because don't they?
Chufu no Tomo or something. I don't know what.
The older women do have the big crush on the young fellow.
Yeah,
he's more popular with the younger women than he is with women his age. But anyway, that's another problem he's got.
All right.
The Handkerchief Prince. I don't even consider him a candidate, so let's scratch him off right away.
Wow.
There's two guys I really like, but as you said, Ito with the Oryx, and I almost said Blue Wave, the Oryx Buffaloes.
Well, you could say that because they were wearing the Blue Wave uniforms.
Maybe that's what messed me up. That's right. I did see that. The thing I like about a guy coming in as a rookie catcher is his demeanor. His demeanor behind the plate, his leadership. He seems to be a very polished catcher. And I've complained a lot about how they wear, I think I did it on one of our first shows, actually, the first month or two, how they wear catchers out in this country.
If
you can catch, they want you to catch until you have to get a wheelchair to get out there behind the plate.
Yeah, pretty much if you can catch and you can hit, then you're a candidate for the demolition derby behind the plate, because they're going to keep you back there until you're too broken to play anymore.
Right, they'll just tape on body parts until they keep falling off.
That's right.
But his demeanor behind the plate, catching and calling pitches, he's outstanding. He doesn't have a great arm, and from what I saw, his footwork is pretty good, and he needs to improve on his accuracy when he's throwing to second base. Hopefully he can do that and maybe, up his batting average a little bit, but I like the guy behind the plate. Mm. He's not going to hit enough to be Rookie of the Year, and he's not going to, in my opinion, play enough
of the Year. He's not really playing much, and I think that's the problem there.
And you talked about his record. I don't know if you have the number in front of you. I hate to put you on the
spot.
You want
to get to that right now?
Well, you sent it to me, and I kept...
Oh, I have it. I mean, I have right now the Buffaloes. The numbers you had were right until the Buffaloes lost 3 games in a row.
Okay. Well.
So right now they are the Buffaloes, who are what, 2 games under 500 now, because they lost 3 in a row.
Mm-hmm.
They are 33-22-5 with Ito catching. Now he's not a first year rookie, but he did catch a little bit. He did play a little bit for him last year, but he's basically a farmhand.
Mm-hmm.
And they're 21-34 with the rest of the gang.
Yeah.
So not all of this is his doing, but you gotta, when you see records like that, you gotta, you really have to look and see what's going on when he's catching. Because there may be something there.
I agree. And like I said, I think it's what I'm seeing is what the team is liking is, I don't know how he's calling pitches. I don't know if they're coming from the bench or if he's doing it all on his own. But his calling of pitches, his leadership in terms of trying to get the pitcher to throw in their locations and spots and hit their spots. And then his leadership in terms of getting the infield. I mean, he's a little Abe to me. I see him, and he reminds me of Abe, the way he performs behind the plate. So I really like the guy. But, again, not enough offensively.
Well, and basically, he's basically been a regular since, May or June?
Yeah, he's still off and on regular, right?
Right. So... Well, he's catching every day right now, but I guess I should say he's been catching since they started winning.
Yeah. And they'll get back. I mean, they had that long streak. There was the 9-game winning streak, their longest winning streak in 14 years.
Right.
I was hoping, I was rooting for them to get to 10, to get to double digits, and they fell short of that, and then they fell the next night, and then they tripped and fell the next night, too, so...
Crashed the night after that.
So, too bad for them, but, with their loss is a Lions gain.
Sure.
If there are gains to be made by these Lions this year. So the guy I like, or do you want to go first?
You go ahead.
The guy I like, probably nobody's, not no one, not many people will vote for him, but I think, according to my, what the Rookie of the Year means to me, Takahiro Shiomi of the Rakuten Eagles is the guy I would like to see be the Rookie of the Year. Now, he started out 1-4. He's finally evened his record at 7-7. Not that wins and losses are that great, but he, with a team like the Eagles, you know, that has not, is not over 500, has right. not played well, has not scored well all season, for you to make a run to get, to go from 1-4 to 7-7, says a lot. And he's been out there, late in games in a lot of these games that he's pitched, to win, these decisions that he's won to get his record even. And again, the team is in third place, but they're two games under 500, so it's pretty tough. You know, wins are tough to come by with this team, especially for starting pitchers. But he's a lefty. He doesn't do anything particularly great, although his command, it seems to me his command is pretty good.
Right.
And even early on when they weren't scoring runs, he was keeping them in games a lot of times. But he just had too many bad innings where he, you know, he'd get into a bad groove. And you've seen it with a pitcher. You know, they make good pitches and they get fouled off. And then they try to challenge hitters and they end up throwing pitches, you know, fat pitches into the zone and they get whacked around and some get caught and some of them go over the fence. So, but he kept his team in some games early on and then they lost. And then, recently he's figured out a way to go deep in games and keep guys off his pitches inside, doing everything you need to do as a pitcher. I don't know how much impact he's going to have in the Pacific League, but I think he's going to have a good impact with the Eagles. So that's why I'm picking him for Rookie of the Year in the Pacific League.
Okay. And let me ask you, I have to ask you this because my pick is somebody else. I mean, I understand what you're talking about, but we have a real disagreement here. Basically, first of all, if I have a choice between a good regular player and a good starting pitcher, I'm going to take the regular every day because that's just the way the game is. The game is dominated by hitters. It's not dominated by pitchers. And that's, you know, that's simply the way it is. Pitchers have a bit, because when you're talking about a pitcher, when you're talking about a batter's results, a batter is essentially half the equation and the other half being more or less the pitching and defense.
Right.
So even when you're talking about the pitcher, a lot of what you're talking about is the defense. And you have to give the fielders have to get some credit for that. Now, to be fair, let's say, in every result, perhaps every time, a ball is put into play, you know, maybe you can argue about it, but somewhere around 40% of that is going to be the batter's influence alone.
Mm-hmm.
And probably another 35% or not, maybe not 40% is going to be the pitcher's, but I'm going to say it's a little higher than, I'm going to say it's probably 45% is the batter's, maybe a quarter of it is the fielder's and what's left is the pitcher's. And it's going to vary from pitcher to pitcher because, you know, if a pitcher is striking out every batter he faces, there's not a lot of credit to give the fielders.
Right.
But the point being that the batter is the principal actor in every at bat. That, you know, you can argue, yes, and we've argued before, if it's a great pitcher and he's throwing pitches that nobody can hit, well, yeah, okay, that's an exception. But the fact is pitchers make mistakes, batters swing at bad pitches, and in any case, the batter is the biggest determinant of what happens. It's not the pitcher. The pitcher can be in extreme instances because he has a chance to put the ball where nobody can hit it, essentially.
Okay, so what's your point?
So my point is this. I wouldn't take a really good bat pitcher, starting pitcher, and put him ahead of a really good batter any day of the week in any competition. And for that reason, I like Shiomi, but I don't like him as much as I like Marines outfielder Shota Ishimine. Now, you did point out, we discussed this, and I know John likes impact players, and you can, why don't you give your rebuttal here about Ishimine?
Well, you know, again, when I got this assignment, I decided in my mind who I liked immediately, and I went to prove that he was the Rookie of the Year.
Right.
And, you know, I've already heard scouting reports about him. You know, He's a plus runner. He's got a plus arm in the outfield, so he's really helping you defensively. He's really got a great range in the outfield. He's got really good speed. He's going to help steal bases. His weakness might be at the plate. He's going to help your team in terms of stealing bases. I don't know when that's going to happen, but what is he? He's got 23 stolen bases this year. So, I mean, I'd like to see him run a little bit more, you know, since he's got all that speed. But then, you know, he's not hitting 300. He hasn't really hit. I'm trying to find out his monthly at-bats here, but I'm not seeing him. I don't know where I'm, if I'm in the wrong spot or not. But, you know, for me, I want to see a guy more consistent against both left-handers and right-handers. And granted, he hasn't seen a lot of left-handed pitchers. But I didn't like the split, you know, lefty-righty split.
Right.
And
okay.
That was the biggest thing. And it was 100 points different. Again, it's only, what has he got? He's got 200, well, I don't know what he did today. So he's got 225 at bats against righties and 85, only 85 against lefties. He's,
right.
And he's 311 against right-handed pitchers and 212. And that to me is a big weakness.
Okay.
That I want him to work on.
Okay. Well, yeah. Let me tell you, let me tell you why. Despite that, first of all, there's a couple of things. Is he a good base stealer? He's 23 and he's 23-4 as a base stealer.
Great.
For a rookie, yeah. Now, did he? Well, first of all, he's been, you know, he missed a month with tonsillitis, and he didn't even have a starting job at the beginning of the season because there were other guys who were ahead of him in the pecking order,
including
Ogino. Right. Well, Ogino was. That's right. There were a few other candidates ahead of him in the pecking order. Now, he does walk. He's got
He doesn't have a great on-base percentage. It's not. I mean, 350. I mean, you know.
No, 350 is all right.
I wanted him to be a leadoff hitter, and I just wouldn't put a guy with a 350 on-base percentage.
Right, but if you're the Marines.
You take what you can get, huh?
Right. 350 on-base percentage is second best on the team.
Okay.
And he's also hitting for some, you know, he's hitting for some power. He's got all the triples to go with it. And he's a plus fielder. Now, he's a really good outfielder. Okay, so he's got to get credit for that as well. So not only is he...
I gave him credit to start my
I know,
argument.
I know you did, but I'm just talking. Let's just talk about his hitting. Now, he has been, in terms of per at-bat, he's been the most effective Marines hitter on the team. You can argue about it. You could say that he's got a weakness. But I'll tell you, first of all, as you said, 80, 90 at-bats isn't a sample. It doesn't really count. You can't, you know, a guy can hit 100. Ichiro Suzuki can hit less than 100 in 100 at-bats, and it has happened.
And might I add that it's you know, you look at the 85 at-bats, it's probably pretty choppy. It's not a smooth, you know, where he's seeing a lot of left-handers on a consistent basis. It's probably okay. In a situation where he goes a week maybe without seeing a left-hander okay. Facing a left-hander, perhaps.
But on the same reason, you give Shiomi credit for being consistent when left-handed batters just beat the heck out of him.
Yeah, I noticed, and he's a left-hander.
Right, it happens.
But I don't know about beating the heck out of him.
They hit 308 against him.
Yeah, but the numbers, like the power numbers, weren't that bad. I mean, yeah, he gives up some hits. I mean, they all do.
He hasn't given up a lot of home runs.
Right.
But he's given up 9 doubles and 2 triple. You know,
you look at the power numbers. There's more. Yeah, there were more power numbers against him against left-handers. I'm sorry. What is it? 17 extra base hits against right-handed batters and fewer than that against left-handed batters. So he's
15 in almost half as many at bats.
Right.
He's got too few. They hit him pretty good. So, I mean, it's silly for you to say, I want a guy. I mean, it's not silly, but I'm saying you have to get both sides. That Shiomi has not been able to get out left-handed batters consistently and then criticize Ishimini for not hitting.
Well, I didn't criticize him.
You said it was a weakness.
I said it was a weakness.
And it's a weakness. And it's a weakness for Shiomi. Then it's a weakness for Shiomi, too. And then you've got to take the guy with the best OPS on the Marines against the third best starting pitcher on the Eagles. I'm going to give it to the outfielder.
And I'm going to give it to the guy whose team is in third place right now. In the playoff spot. I'm also factoring that in because now Ishimini is playing games that, you know, essentially are playing out the string. They really don't matter that much. He's just out there. But Shiomi's games mean something. He's going to go out there and pitch meaningful games right now with a lot of pressure on him as a rookie.
I'll give him
points for that. Okay. And, you know, if left-handed batters are going to hit whatever they hit against him, still, I'm not going to worry about that. I'm going to worry about the final result.
Okay. And they have to take him out of the game because of left-handed batters coming up. I don't think they will because nobody's that
smart. Well, they might.
Right.
Yeah.
There aren't managers
in Japan who are smart enough.
Yeah. But, I think they're really close. And if they're pretty close, I'm not going to worry about I'm going to factor in other things. And the other thing I want to factor in is how is he going to impact his team? And that's what I said before, you know, when we started this whole thing. I think Ishimini is going to be good, but I think the Marines are going to be a similar team with him or without him.
Well, they have a lot that you can say that because they have a lot of speed. Well,
they have a lot of speed
because of Okada.
Outfielders.
On the other hand, I'm taking a guy who's going to be an everyday outfielder against a guy who's going to be a decent pitcher and a guy who's going to be a good everyday outfielder. He might not be an MVP. Neither of these guys are ever going to be MVP candidates.
Probably
I don't
not.
Think.
Probably not.
I'm going to take the outfielder.
All right.
I'm gonna take the everyday player. That's just my bias. So
you guys listening, you know, you guys break the tie here, or break the stop the argument, or break Jim's arm or something.
What are we going there now?
Okay. Or his knee, or his leg, or something.
Broken bones are not part of the experiment here.
But and I don't know if you were informed, but we will be voting for MVPs this year.
We will be. Yes. I'm finally going to get off my butt and do it.
Right. We got a call this week, and I was informed yesterday. So just
cool.
Now, we're having a meeting here on while we're taping, but but that's all right. All right. Let's go on to the next topic, which is talking just a little bit about the races real quick. I want to touch on them and then move on because we got lots of questions to deal with.
Sure.
The Buffaloes were on a rise. They had this 9-game winning streak, but then they hit the skids here, and they've fallen out of third place. Well, they're still tied, right? Well, they were tied yesterday, so this, I don't know if this is updated now. Is this a fresh one? Yeah. They are still tied with the Eagles for third place. They're in a virtual tie with the percentage points. The Fighters seem to be falling off here. They really have hit the skids, so I think we can turn this thing over to the Hawks and start thinking about what we're going to do in the postseason here.
Although the Hawks, I don't know. I don't trust either of these guys, of course. And then we have the Hawks, and I was with a friend of mine who's a big Lions fan today. We were talking about the Hawks, and he said, you know, the Hawks have it's going to be very hard for anyone to beat them to the pennant. The only question is, when will the Hawks ever win a playoff series?
Ever, ever, ever.
The operative word is ever.
Will this be the year? I don't know. You know, like
we've
I said,
2004. They lost in the second. They hosted the second stage and lost at home. 2005, they hosted the second stage and lost at home. 2006, they were in the second stage on the road and they lost on the road. 2009, they lost to the Eagles on the road in the first stage. And last year, 2010, they had a 1-game advantage and they lost at home.
Over the third-place Marines.
Over the third-place Marines and they lost at home. So that they are 0-5 in the playoffs.
And they're going to be the top seed again. They have a 7-game lead. I'm ready to call time of death here. But the main thing is
it'd be the hot coroner.
The main thing is, let's say the Fighters finish second place. Okay, right. Which they're probably going to do. That third place team, if it's the Eagles.
You almost said the gutsy little Eagles.
I almost said gutty. Well, I said gutty little Eagles. You always say gutsy. So.
Okay, you say gutsy.
I never say gutsy. But
I say gutsy and you say gutty. Okay.
And I say tomato. And
let's call it all off. Okay.
Let's call it all off. So, you know, if it's the Eagles, that's a really, really tough matchup. That's going to take a lot out of the Fighters to get through that series to go up against the Hawks. That sets up the Hawks in even better position. I think if it's the Buffaloes, it's kind of a different series, although they're going to pitch well. I think Kaneko is a good pitcher. He's going to pitch well. After that, I think the... You know, we don't know.
To me, it hurts the Fighters more to be second than it hurts the Hawks because the Fighters, you know, the Fighters, they have such a gap between the top pitcher and the rest of the staff.
Yeah, but the same can be said for the Hawks, because, you know, Wada has been really consistent, but he hasn't been, like, lights out shut down.
No, this is what I'm saying. I'm saying the best pitchers aren't that different. Their staff is fairly homogenized. Okay. There's not a big drop-off from 1 to 4, there's, you know, or 1 to 5, or however many guys they throw. I mean, they could throw Shota Oba out there.
You're talking about hopefully for them, they can figure this thing out and get through. You know, after Wada, Sugiuchi has been pretty inconsistent this season.
He has. Well, was very solid the first half, and he hasn't had any kind of second half to speak of. So, I mean, he didn't get results, but he was a kind of a hard luck pitcher in the first half.
Yeah,
He was pretty good. As soon as Hosokawa stopped catching him, in fact, they've gone back to letting Yamazaki catch him, but it hasn't helped. Okay.
All right. So now in the
Central. Okay, go ahead.
In the Central League, your Swallows back on course.
Yeah.
No problems. They've opened up a can.
Yeah, they're eating from a can of worms right now.
I think it's a 6-game lead now, right? Over the Tigers. There's 6 over the Tigers, or 6.5 over the Tigers now.
Well, they're 5 over.
They're 5 over the Dragons, because the Dragons figured out how to
5.5 over the Giants.
You know what happens?
I'm
telling you what happens right here. Some team is in the midst of falling out, virtually out of the race, mm-hmm. and then they look on the schedule, they look up and see the Yokohama Bay Stars for 3 games.
Yep.
It's problem solved. And that's what happened with the Dragons. They looked like, you know, they had tumbled down in the 4th place or something, and then they swept 3 from the Bay Stars, and now they're in 2nd place again. No problems.
Well, the thing that I notice is that the Giants and the Swallows are pretty much done. They've played 23 games.
You mean head-to-head?
Head-to-head.
Yes.
So those two teams aren't going to be seeing each other. However, Dragons, and Tigers, Bay Stars, Carp. The Giants, they've got those teams. The Dragons are chasing them, the Tigers are chasing them, and the Carp aren't going to be chasing them for much longer. And the Bay Stars, who knows? I wonder how many times. They've got, you know, 7 games against the Bay Stars, so they could go 7-6-1 in those.
They could go 8-0 in the 7 games. I mean,
considering they're 12-2 against the Bay Stars this year. So
I'm confident. Like I told you earlier in the season, just sit back and enjoy your championship run. I mean,
well, I think so. I think as many games as they have to play against Yokohama and as many ties as they have, you know, Chunichi, good luck.
All right.
The other thing I want to mention is that as of yesterday, the Swallows have actually scored more runs than they've allowed. So this is news.
It is, because for most of the season they were.
No, they were way in the negative. They were debtors, and they were in the beginning of August. They were 14 games over 500 and having scored 3 runs fewer than they'd allowed. And now they're plus 5 runs, and they are what? They're 14. Oh, they're 14 over 500 again. So they've played essentially 500 baseball.
You know, that reminds me of this weekend series out at QVC, where the Hawks outscored the Marines 18-6 in this 3-game series, and they only won 1 game.
It happens.
They got shut out twice and scored 18 runs. Yeah, it happens. It's beautiful. I mean, it's baseball. You gotta love it. Let's go to fielding the questions. All right, we got another question from a friend of the program, Clement, in Marseille, France. He says, I have 2 questions. Number one is, do you think Takuya Nakamura of the Cebu Lions will break Sadaharu Oh's home run record in a single season one day? And, the single season record is 55 home runs, and it's also held by
Tuppy Rhodes in 2001 and Alex Cabrera in 2002.
And I say, I call Mr. Okawari-kun is Mr. Nakamura's nickname, and I call him Mr. Chubbs. I would say no. I would take O every time. And let me first say I would love to see Nakamura do this, because I like him, and he's figured out this ball better than anybody, obviously. He's got 39 home runs. He's got more home runs by himself, I believe, than the Lotte Marines have as a team. he did the other day. I'll have to check this as we're talking. But, yes, he still does, because Lotte only has 38 and he's got 39. So I like him to do it. I would love to see him do it, but I don't think he's that kind of hitter. Jim?
Well, I think he could do it because, you know, this is, again, I'm not trying to be cute or mysterious here, which is, I think being cute is probably beyond my parameters.
So but, you have seen a mirror. Okay. I'm kidding. We kid because we love.
Is that what that was? I thought it was venom coming out of there. Okay. Now, Nakamura has a chance because we never know, you know, how the conditions are going to change, even in a couple of years. A couple of years he might be playing in the Central League. They might change the ball to where, you know, he might be playing for the Giants, and it might be that they go back to using, you know, big balls that are going to fly over the fence. And, yeah, he could hit 55 there. Now, the other question is, so the point being that, yeah, you really can't tell how the game is going to change within a few years. It is unlikely, but is it possible? Yes, it is possible. It is unlikely. Now, he's the player to break it. The other thing I have about Nakamura is that, you know, the type of hitter, I would say, you know, John and I were talking about this, and being the type of hitter would be he's not slow. You know, he's not slow, but he doesn't have the body type of a guy who's going to continue hitting lots of home runs and perhaps extend his prime past the age of 30.
So you're saying he's not going to age well?
He's not going to age that well. I like him to be a more productive hitter in his early 30s than, say, Akira Eto or Nakamura. I look for him to age better than Akira Eto, even though he's fatter.
Yeah, he's still got a lot of putt. He is the heavy hitter.
Yes. He is the heavy hitter. You know, you never know. The other thing about him that I think, you know, and this speaks to the context, is I want you to think about Babe Ruth, as you know, we always think of Babe Ruth.
Mm-hmm.
But in 1919, when Babe Ruth became a full-time, more or less full-time outfielder, he was still a part-time pitcher, and he hit 29 home runs for the Boston Red Sox, people were astounded.
Mm-hmm.
This was an astronomical number for people in that day, and people were saying, you know, he'll never hit 30. Well, the news is that he went, you know, he was traded to, he was sold to the Yankees the following in the off season, and he hit 53
the next year. Wow.
Right. So what happened was the conditions changed.
Mm-hmm.
Two, the biggest condition of which was, he left Fenway Park, which at that time was a horrible park for home run hitters. Of his 29 home runs, I think 26 came on the road.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And then he went to the Polo Grounds.
Right.
And with a very short right field fence.
Well, I mean, I was thinking comparatively to O, and I thought, you know, O was a 300 hitter career.
Sure.
He was a pure hitter. I mean, this guy hit line drive. I mean, I haven't seen a lot. I saw him play.
Your perception of O is accurate. He was a big, powerful line drive hitter who could also uppercut the ball and hit it a mile if he had to.
Right. But the conditions that need to change for Nakamura, A, is that he plays in the Pacific League where they have perceived, we say it, we've been talking about it all
they
season.
They got bigger parts.
They got better pitchers. Well, the pitchers, first of all. You know, there's no Darvish in the Central League. There's no, you know, if he goes to the Giants, he's not going to have to face guys like that. Then you talked about the parks, you know, the difference in ballparks. If he goes to a place like Nagoya, well, no, we wouldn't probably likely see him do that. But if he goes to, and I still say that Hiroshima plays like a power park, it's just that team doesn't hit home runs. If he goes to Yokohama,
If Hiroshima plays like a power park, how come the teams that come in don't hit home runs?
Well, you have to ask them. I'm not going to get into that team. Not this time. We'll talk about it later.
So it plays like a power park without people actually hitting home runs there.
All right.
We'll get into that mystery at another day.
We will discuss this at another time. You know, things are going to have to change, but I would like to see him do it. You know, like you said, is it impossible? No. Is it likely? You know, who knows? I'd like to see him do it. I think O played in a smaller park as well, and you know, I'm not sure. I never went out there to pull it out. Yeah. You were there before, right?
Yeah, I saw a few games at Corcoran. It was a fair park. It was a fair park.
Okay, all right.
The other thing I think that has to happen, and this is something that O and I have talked about, is you have to hit number 55 early.
Yep.
Because you can't get involved in games where people don't want to give up the record home run for one reason or another. Okay. Now, in O's case, he hit it in 1964 when the Giants were out of the pennant race by August. And all he was doing the second half of the season was trying to hit home runs. Okay, you got to get in a situation where A, you have enough time to do it. Nobody wants to give up the run, but B, the home run. But B, pitchers have to pitch to you because they can't afford giving away games by just putting you on base.
Right. So and that's with this playoff format, that's going to help.
Yeah, absolutely. Because a third place team,
most of the teams are still in it and they still play something. So.
Exactly. Okay, so that's a help. So go to the Central League. Have the balls changed, and hit a lot of home runs before August. That's the answer, Chubbs.
All right. Clement, we're going to get to your second question probably next week in the next show, which is about the WBC and what lineups that we would choose for that. So let's move on to a question from another second-time questioner, the Mookster.
Sure, Mook.
He says, I'm forgiving you for the shot at the Mets fans, and I'm still a big fan of the show. Why
You're
is
not Mookie Wilson, are you?
No. Why is the head first slide into first still so prolific in this country? Study after study has shown that it's faster to keep running to beat the throw to first. I also think seeing a runner bearing down on them might sometimes play with the first baseman's head and occasionally force an error. Jim, I know you want to vent on this one.
Well, the Mookster went on to talk about how he saw Keiichi Hirano go head first into first base, and I think it drove him up a wall. What's going on? And so I asked, I asked one of the Marines coaches yesterday at QVC Marine Field, their base running coach, Mr. Kamikawa.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him, he said, did you slide into head first ever? He says, as a pro, never, not once, not never. I don't believe in it. I don't like it. I says, well, why do players do it? He says, well, it's kind of their emotions, their bodies, going in tune with their emotions. It's an emotional thing. I said, do people think it's faster? He said, no. And he would never do it because he was afraid that if he slid and there was a high throw, the first baseman who jumped up for a throw might spike his arm.
Yeah, come down to him somewhere. Yeah,
he hated it. I said, did you do it in high school? He said, people did it all the time in high school, and they told you to do it, but he wouldn't.
You know, I heard as a young man as a young boy actually, that running through the base was always faster. And then I came here to Japan, and I saw every high school kid diving into first base, and the immediate reaction when I saw every kid doing it on close plays was that, and I think we talked about this earlier in the season on a podcast, there's a very distinct sound of the hand, the foot hitting the bag and the ball hitting the glove. And an umpire hears that, he can tell without looking, basically what the play is, what the call is.
So that explains a lot of these Japanese umpires' calls. They're not looking.
They don't have to look. But if you slide into the bag, you take away that advantage for the umpire. And now he doesn't know. He might call you safe because it looked good.
that's how Japanese is that?
But that was immediately what I thought is, okay, well, they're trying to make the umpire really look at this play and really think about it, because the only reason I think you would dive is because you knew you were going to be out.
Right.
And you knew you weren't going to get there in time, so you want to take advantage of tricking the umpire and making it look like you got to the bag and taking away that sound effect.
Interesting.
That was my first reaction, but to see pro athletes do this, the high school kids, they don't know any better, and the coaches probably tell them to do it or whatever, but professional guys, you got to know that running through the bag is faster. I don't know why they do it.
Well, I think it is possible for a guy to be faster if you dive, provided that is your plan and not a last ditch option.
Yeah.
If you are running, you're going to do the running long jump. You're going to take a powered diving leap into the bag at the last second and stretch out your body you could conceivably get there faster, but that's when you're going to really mess up your upper body in a collision with the ground.
Too dangerous.
And the other thing is, still all the time you're falling, you're not powering yourself forward. Exactly. So you're just, you're dead weight. You've got no propulsion, dude. So give it up. Yeah. But Japan, no.
I don't know. We don't know, Moogster. I had an idea. It came to me when I was riding in a train when I actually saw your question, and I'm thinking you should just go to Koshin and hold up a sign, get somebody to write it in Japanese for you. Don't slide headfirst into first base, run through the bag. And you get somebody to carry that sign or hold that sign up every game, every single game. I don't care if you have to pay them. And we'll do the same thing out here in Tokyo, and we'll just start this...
A campaign?
A campaign to get people to stop sliding. High school kids, we give up on them. That's what they do. Let's keep the professionals from, you know, getting injured, especially...
Yeah, when they get out of high school, they should graduate from sliding into first base.
Yeah. And speaking of graduation, it's time for us to graduate from this show. We have another question, but we will hold it off until next week. Please email the show if you have time. The email address is yakuyohn@gmail.com. Leave us a message or a comment on our Facebook page, and you can look us up on iTunes.
All right. Well, thank you for listening, everyone.
Moogster Clément from France. Thank you.
Man. Yeah. Clément. All right.
Clément. Maybe it's Clément. I don't know. I'm supposed to have some French blood in me, and I can't say anything French. Well, let's get Richard Freeman out here. He can pronounce French words really well. That's about it. About it, but nothing very well.
Well, I'm not talking to French people. They beat Japan too badly. They ran up the score at the last minute of the Rugby World Cup. So,
great game. Yeah.
Great game. Okay.
All right. Well, hopefully the sound quality has improved on the podcast. And we thank you for listening and tune back in next week.
All right.
Enjoy your baseball.